thought you were banished. Hey, what's the matter?
You people and your God, you just, you know, you talk in circles. You offer just enough evidence, but never enough to be conclusive. Then you fill in all the gaps with, oh, well, yeah, you just gotta have faith. It's a bunch of nonsense.
You're really irritating. You know that?
Don't start with me, Kenny.
You don't waste a lick of time bragging to all of us how great a reporter you are. So why can't you put up or shut up on this story?
What are you even talking about?
Here's where the chili meets the cheese, my friend. One of my heroes was C.S. Lewis, a man who began as a skeptic, much like yourself. At the end of his journey, you know what he said? He said, if Christianity is false, it's of zero importance. But if it's true, there's nothing more important in the entire universe. So you want your wife back? Well, hey, guess what? People in hell want ice water. Not everybody gets everything they want. Stop blaming me and the church and God. And do your job. Stack up the evidence, follow the facts, and write the story, win or lose.
You ever had a conversation like that? Have you ever sensed, as Kenny London did in that scene, that a friend or family member has at least some interest, some degree of interest in Christ, but is hung up on a spiritual sticking point? Or maybe you're at a place in your own spiritual journey where you're at a sticking point. What's a spiritual sticking point? Well, for a biblical example, let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 26. God speaks through an angel to Philip, Jesus' disciple. And it's a very unusual request. He says, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he doesn't explain why. He says, just go. And Philip, thankfully, obeys. Doesn't make any sense, because Philip is prospering with his church in this area. And God says, you know what, leave that. Go over here. Go to the desert. So Philip starts out and he sees a carriage coming down the road, and in the carriage is an Ethiopian official. Basically, he's the equivalent to the Secretary of Treasury for the Queen. And he's a eunuch. And the eunuch had gone down to Jerusalem to worship, and now he's returning. So he's seated in the carriage, and he's reading aloud from a scroll, from the New Testament scriptures, from the Old Testament, from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And Philip is instructed by this angel to come alongside, and he hears the eunuch reading. And he says, do you understand what it is you are reading? And the man replied, well, how can I unless someone explains it to me? In other words, the man from Ethiopia had come to a spiritual sticking point. He's on a journey, literally, physically, coming back from worshiping in Jerusalem. And he's also on a journey spiritually, as he's trying to understand the scriptures. But he has a sticking point. He can't understand it without someone helping him along. Sometimes this happens with people who are attracted to the Word of God. They're on a journey toward God, but they hit a sticking point, something that blocks their spiritual journey. There's an issue or a question or a concern that blocks their spiritual progress toward a spiritual breakthrough. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever hungered for a deep, authentic, personal relationship with Christ, but something stunts your spiritual progress? You're attracted to a relationship with a God of the universe, the God who created everything. But there's something you just can't seem to get past. Now today, as we move along toward Easter, today we're going to talk about two of the four spiritual sticking points. The most common ones that come up when you're trying to decide if Jesus is really who he says he is. The first spiritual sticking point is when we say, I can't believe. And the struggle is often expressed by people who have intellectual issues. And it's blocking their spiritual path. Like, for instance, a scientist may say, I can't believe the Bible because it conflicts with scientific evidence. Or the mother of a sick child could say, I can't believe in a God who allows terrible things like this to happen and evil people to prosper. Or maybe it's a lawyer who says, I'm used to dealing with evidence, facts, data, logic. I can't believe in something that is purely about faith. This is the sticking point that Jesus' disciple Thomas had in the New Testament, in John 20:25, where he said, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger into those nail marks and put my hand into his side where they thrust the spear, how am I supposed to believe this? So how can we get past this spiritual sticking point? We're all intelligent people. We certainly like to believe what we see and see what we believe. Well, first, we can learn from the Ethiopian eunuch that Philip met on the road. You know what he was doing? He was actively seeking God. If we're stuck in an intellectual sticking point, we need to actively seek God. The Ethiopian went to the temple in Jerusalem to worship, even though under Jewish law he was not, he wasn't allowed to fully participate. And when Philip met him, the Ethiopian was searching the scriptures for answers. And when we do these things, God promises to meet us. Jeremiah 29:13 promises, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Sir Lionel Lacoux was another skeptic who searched for and found truth in God. Now, this guy here, he was the greatest attorney who ever lived. He was in the Guinness Book of World Records for winning more murder trials than anyone had ever won in history. He was knighted by the Queen. He was a brilliant legal mind, and he received a whole bunch of honors. And he was a skeptic. He was a religious skeptic. But he decided to take his monumental legal knowledge and he applied it to investigating the historical record of Jesus' resurrection. Now, this is a guy who set out to disprove all this stuff. In summary of his conclusion, Lacoux stated, I say unequivocally that the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so overwhelming that it compels acceptance by proof, which leaves absolutely no room for doubt. The Bible says that the very fact that you are able to seek God is because he is drawing you to himself. God seeks you first. God is continually reaching out for you, waiting. It was no accident that Philip ended up on that road with the Ethiopian eunuch. God supernaturally sent Philip. And I believe that it's no accident that you are here today. The second sticking point that I want to talk about today is I don't want to believe. Have you ever talked with someone who just wasn't interested in hearing the evidence for God? Their life is going just fine. They really don't care. They don't believe they need God. Much of our community falls into this category. Maybe you've offered to explain to them how you've discovered the truth and the reasons that convinced you, but they just don't want to hear it. They really don't think there could be any actual evidence. Subject closed. Now, at first, this may seem to be an intellectual sticking point, but, well, in some cases it may be. But as you get to know the person, you discover that there are other issues in their life that could be behind the reason, could be why they're rejecting Christ and rejecting the evidence. Sometimes moral issues get in the way of a person's relationship. Maybe it's in an inappropriate relationship or an unethical business practice or some other type of sin. They may worship other gods. Now, granted, you don't see a lot of people with golden calves on an altar in their home, but worshiping other gods could look like putting their own pleasures in front of God, putting their focus somewhere else. Becoming a Christian would mean a radical lifestyle change that they're just really not interested in, not open to. John 3:19 tells us that light has come into the world, but people love darkness more than they love the light because their deeds were evil. For people who struggle with this issue of not wanting to believe, their true spiritual sticking point is not a knowledge problem, it's a lifestyle problem. Truth be told, this is the way a lot of people are. We don't want God to change our lives, so we manufacture reasons not to believe. But what if they were to put God to the test and compare the costs and the benefits of their current lifestyle with that of following Christ? He offers so much. He offers forgiveness, adventure, a clean conscience, security, guidance, hope, fulfillment, relationship, comfort, peace of mind, love, release from guilt, the power to overcome self-destructive impulses, and the promise of eternity. Is this second spiritual sticking point one that you may be struggling with? Are lifestyle issues holding you back? Then weigh it out. Play things out to their logical ends. Mentally carry the trajectory of your life to its conclusion on your own. Where do you end up? And how will you feel about yourself as you look back on your life? Then compare it to the trajectory of following Christ. One other variation of the spiritual sticking point is a hidden authority obstacle. Maybe a person who struggles with this doesn't want anyone, including God, to tell them what to do or how to live their life. Even the one that created them, they don't want to have to follow those strict directions. It's limiting. So they find reasons not to believe. But they're missing the point. They're missing that God's goal isn't to boss us around. It's to guide us into our greatest purpose and joy for our lives, and the potential to protect us from our own self-destructive behavior. And we've all got it. Isn't that the kind of loving authority we all need in our lives? In each of the two sticking points mentioned, there's hope, and there is a way to get unstuck. And in the weeks to come, we're going to continue to look at these sticking points and unpack the evidence in the case for Christ as we follow our strong non-believer, Lee Strobel, in his quest to disprove that Jesus is the Christ, only to discover the greatest truth ever. Amen.